Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're able to stay in and stay warm today, this morning especially, but today. And when I look out the window, I do see some blue skies and maybe some sunshine coming through there. So that's encouraging to see, but I know it's been a long, cold spell. And I hope that you're taking care of yourself and mentally through this. I know for some that's it's hard, not used to being having to stay inside and what have you. That's a hard thing to do, and you want to get out and move around and not feel restricted. And that's very hard for many people, most people, I'd say. But I think that should also serve as a reminder to us who are able to get out and go and do and what have you, to remember those who cannot due to age or sickness and what have you, and the importance of checking in with them and making sure they're okay. And I trust and I hope and pray that you're okay this morning. And I'm very excited about the message this morning, as sometimes you don't know what is going to really resonate with people. But last week seemed to really be a help to people. And I'm just very, very thankful for that. Several had reached out and mentioned that they enjoyed it and what have you. And so in looking and preparing for today, I looked at different things and tried to study some things out. But the Lord led me right back kind of where we left off. And I just hope and pray that this will be a help to you and an absolute encouragement. I'm not just trying to say words. This will work if we do it. And the reason I can say that is because God has promised us in His Word. If you were to set out in wanting to be successful at something or do something, and I could offer you a plan that guaranteed 100% success, would you not take it? I want you to think about that. And this is for every one of us this morning. This is just as much for me as it is anybody else, but I'm thankful that it's in God's Word, and I believe that you will find it goes absolutely directly along with what we were talking about last week in taking note of our need, note of our condition, the state that we're in. Number one, we need to be saved. If you're lost this morning, that's the most pressing thing, is for you to be saved. And number two, if you are saved, your most pressing need is to understand your weakened state, your depraved state as a human being, and your absolute need of Jesus Christ in your life. That's how we live and move and have our being day in and day out. And you'll see that absolutely today, I trust and I pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer while people are joining in and what have you. Let's pray, and then we'll get started this morning. Father, I just come to you, Lord, just wanted to thank you for all your blessings. God, I thank you so much for a good warm place to be. Lord, I thank you for food, shelter, your provision, the goodness of you on my life. God, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for all the people in my life. Lord, how we can help one another, be there for one another. And God, I just pray that you go with us in this message this morning, that you help us to retain and to apply what we are hearing this morning. That's the importance that we need to have, the importance of what we need to do to have the success that we need to have in our life, Lord. And I say success, but just to win, God, to win you, to win in you, God, the gift that you've given to us, one of the many. And Lord, I pray for those who are lost that are listening in. God, I pray that you help them see their need, the most important need of being saved. And God, I thank you for, again, those who are in our lives, God, and I just pray that you help them, encourage them, help me to be an encouragement, God. Help us through your word that we can use it and gain from it and grow from it, and let it be a reality in our life, not something that is just there, that we know is there, that we read it, but we don't apply it, but we actually do something with it. We see the fruit of it in our life. Others can see the fruit of it, God, and understand their need to have you in their life also. Lord, help us to be the witness you'd have us to be, and go with us in the furtherance of this service, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I just woke up last night, late last night, and Emmett, he wanted out, and I was like, I don't think you want out tonight, my friend. But I guess he needed to go out for just a few minutes, and So I got up and let him out, and he ran outside, and so I went back and laid back down in the bed, and Brandy said, don't you think it's time to let him back in? I was like, well, I thought maybe he'd meow when he's wanting to come back in, and so I came back to the door, and I called for him, and he wasn't there. I could see the little footprints in the snow where he had left, and thought maybe he'd went under the deck or what have you to go potty, as we say, but I couldn't find him, so I started calling for him, couldn't find him, and then got dressed, went outside, and walked around the porch a little bit there, the deck, and called for him, and couldn't find him, and then went back in, and Randy said, where's he at? I was like, I don't know, surely he didn't have that, we didn't give him much time to get too far, and sure enough, when I came back to the door, he was there ready, and I say that to say just how thankful I am to have had a warm place to be. Thankful for the food that we've got. And I know that maybe this isn't the most devastating of storms and what have you, but it just really helped me to pause and think, what if I was trapped outside last night? What if I was outside in that? And it just really made me think about the goodness of God and his blessings on our life. And, you know, we should always be thankful for what we have in him. I mean, he's made a way for us, provision for us in this life physically, but also what he's done for us spiritually. We should always be mindful of that. If you will, let's be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I want to look at the first 13 verses there. I'll try to hurry through the first part, but I'll read chapter or verse 13 as you're turning there, just to kind of get our mind started. And the Bible says here, Paul talking to the church at Corinth, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I tell you, it's amazing how the Lord has given provision to us and made provision for us. As you go back and you look at the first part of this verse, first part of this chapter, verses 1 through 12, but we'll break it down a little bit. When you see how the nation of Israel were conducting themselves, that's what led up to this place. When we were talking last week, we were talking about us having a choice between the two natures of being able to give in to one or to the other. And Paul was saying, I find that when I tried to do good, evil was with me, and the temptation is there. Now, I know that the devil will throw things at us and cause us or try to trip us up and do things, but this is already set in motion as far as how the flesh reacts. The flesh wants what it wants, and the spirit, the inner man, once a person is saved, is at enmity with that spirit. They're going two different directions, and that is the battle that is ongoing on the inside of every single Christian. You know, we get dressed up, we get ready to go to church, and we get to church, and you know, we see each other there, probably amongst the better of our days. Sometimes, I mean, and what I mean by that is we've tried to get cleaned up, maybe shaved, and what have you, and look good, look presentable, and all those kind of things. And so, when we see each other in the church setting, it is usually on purpose for us to be in the best condition that we can be for where we're at. And I don't guess anybody would really argue with that. I mean, don't you believe on putting on your Sunday best and all that kind of stuff and wanting to just be presentable? But the reality of this life is when you get out and you get in the thick of it, every single one of us is dealing with something, battling something, warring with something. And that's just how it is. And I'll go through this and you'll see why I'm saying that, because it says again, there hath no temptation taking you, but is such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So when you see that being said there, common to man, that means it's common between all of us. That's preachers, deacons, teachers in the church, members of the church. That's common before all of us, and not just in our time period, but throughout all time. So that takes off the table that some are immune. Nobody is immune to temptation. Nobody is immune to this flesh. As long as we live in this body, we're none immune to it. We have to face it. We have to deal with it. That means we have a choice. Now, when you go back, this is what I find kind of interesting too. When you go back to the first of this chapter, chapter number 10, and when you go back to it, what you're going to find is, and my subtitle says avoid it, avoid self-indulgence. So I believe it's talking a lot about having self-control. I mentioned last week, the child of God absolutely must display self-control, or what are we really doing? Who are we surrendered to? Who are we subject to? And so we see this illustration that is given here from Paul, and it's talking about back when the children of Israel were being, when they were being led out of captivity, led out of Egypt, and their response and their actions. And it actually even comes down to the point of outlining and explaining who all was able to enter into the promised land. I think that we think we're in better shape sometimes than what we're in. And I don't say that to be negative, but now let's slow down this morning and be 100% honest with ourselves. Hey, we're here at home. Nobody's looking at you. I don't guess I'm here alone. Emmett's over here with me, but let's be honest with ourselves this morning. Let's think about this. When we go to church and we're sitting there, and you know the internal battles that you've dealt with throughout the week, you've known what you've dealt with, and you absolutely wouldn't want to brag about it, talk about it, anything like that. So I'm not saying it like that, but you know it's there. But see, what happens sometimes after potentially attending church for a long period of time, we get to the place where we try not to acknowledge it. We try to suppress it. We try not to acknowledge it. And I am not telling you in any way to glorify in sin, but I'm telling you this morning, you have to acknowledge it in and of yourself. Not that you need to confess it to somebody else. I'm not saying that at all. You need to confess it to the Lord. But you need to acknowledge the condition that you're in, what you're dealing with. And what you're going to find here is how these people, how they didn't deal with things and what they suffered because of it. They were consumed of their own flesh in their actions. It's not that they didn't have somebody that was willing to lead them or wanting to lead them. They had leadership there and what have you, but they had their own individual choices to make. When the Bible says that no man sins unto himself, that is very true. My sin will, I'm accountable for it, but my sin will affect my home. It'll affect my family. It'll affect my church, my community, and those people around me. And it may not even be that they directly know what is going on in my life, and others don't know what's going on in your life, but that sin is a hindrance. Sin is keeping you from being who you're supposed to be for our God. And we can absolutely look at that as a in a way of fear of having that sin. But I want you to look at it in a way of this morning is that you need to repent of it, get rid of it, and live for the Lord the way he intends for you to live for him. Now, when you see what is going on here, let's read these verses and get the context of what Paul is saying here. He's saying, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers, he's of the Jewish nation, and so he's talking about the fathers of the nation of Israel, fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat. That's the manna that God provided from heaven, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So you get the example that was given. Every one of these people, the children of Israel, every one of them were delivered up to this point. As they were leaving Egypt, and as they were coming out, they were doing so under the leadership of Moses. And so in saying baptize unto Moses, what does that mean? Did Moses baptize them? What does that mean? They identified with Moses. Let's stop and clarify this for just a minute. It's not that there was a direct baptism to Moses in those terms, but it was an identification. And what I mean by that today, when you and I are baptized that have accepted Christ and we obey our Lord and following Him into baptism, we are identifying ourselves with Him, with the death laid down, the burial underneath the water, and then when we're risen back up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are identifying with Him and what He's done. And so that's what they are saying here. These are people who were following Moses, and they identified with him as the children of Israel, and that's what they were doing. And it talks about the deliverance that they went through. They followed the cloud. It was a cloud by day that they followed, and then it was a fire at night that they followed. And when the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the fire stopped, they stopped. And when it moved, they moved. And you and I are supposed to be the same way today in being guided by the Holy Spirit. When He says to move, you move with Him. And when He says to stop, we are to stop. If He says, don't say that, don't do that, we are to not do that. It's that interdwelling gift that we have received, the Comforter, when Jesus ascended back into heaven. And when we accept Jesus Christ, we receive this interdwelling. I think sometimes we suppress it, and we may be poor pitiful. And I'll just be honest with you, we get to the place sometimes we don't even try. You'll see what I'm saying here. If there is absolutely a way of deliverance, as the Bible teaches us, why are we not taking advantage of that? Why are we not listening to that? There's consequences to that. This whole human nature, it is so easy to do what the human nature wants us to do that you don't even have to try. You can fall back into it. You can just go along with it, but there's consequences with that. The inner man is suffering greatly when we don't do what the Lord would have us to do, when we're not being obedient to what the Lord would have us to do. Now, when you see these things here, what is set up to this point, God provided the manna for them. He provided food for them. All they had to do was walk outside and get it. I mean, the food literally fell from heaven as the dew, and it was there, and it didn't go bad. God is amazing in how He provides for us and what He does for us. But now, if you remember, and me and Mom joke around about this a lot, because we know how people are, all of us, we can get that way, that poor, pitiful thing. And they got to Moses and said, word of God that we would have died in Egypt. You brought us out here to die. We're up against this ocean, and now we're going to die here. Why don't you just let us die there in the wilderness and then get through that part? And then they started, you know what they started craving? They wanted onion soup rather than the manna from God. The manna from heaven. They wanted onion soup. I tell you what happens is, and you get used to the food, I'm trying to think of the right words to give her. You get used to the appetite that the world has, and that's what you'll start craving. I saw a post this morning from a dear friend from another church, and she had posted about that. What you consume is what you start getting used to. And I tell you, there is so much consuming going on, it's unreal. That's what people are doing in this day and time with all the devices and all the screen time that we have. We just start taking things in. And ask the CFC class on Thursday night, this Thursday night, maybe it was last Thursday, I guess it was last Thursday night, a week ago, and talking about spending, how we spend our time. And I said, have you ever checked your screen on time? On your device, you know, iPhones has that for the week. It'll tell you how many hours that you spent with screen time. And I tell you, if you haven't done that, you might need to. You might be surprised, especially with all this time with folks being kind of held captive inside with the weather and the way that it's been. Something for you to think about here, think about there. And the Lord wants us to be delivered from that. He wants us to live with Him. And you see what is going on, you see how they acted here and how everything, or how the Lord had provided for them, given to them. But now you also see how they acted in response. They were complaining. When you look at verse number 5, again, it was talking and giving all credit to Jesus Christ. They had the power. They had the provision that they needed. In verse number 5, it says here, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Many of them, God was displeased with. Now, I want to give you a ratio. I want you to think about it like this when you look at the children of Israel. And some of you may know the answer to this. I've got it written down. Thank the Lord for good Bible teaching and preaching throughout years, and trying to take notes from those men and gain from that and grow from that and jot things down. How many people out of the children of Israel do you think actually made it through to the other side? It's very interesting when you look at those statistics. Now you think about it like this. Statistically speaking, if we were to say that same ratio in the church today was okay, that's not very convincing, is it? What I'm telling you this morning is, out of all those people, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, all but two people. You look back, you're going to find that that was Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the two that went over to the other side. Now, when you slow down and you look at that example, you're going to find out how the people were and how Josh and Caleb responded. The people were, again, word of God that we would have died in the wilderness. You brought us out here to die, and boy, I miss the leeks and the garlics. I miss the what the world had to offer, what we got to eat in Egypt. I miss those things, and now we're here missing out on that, and you brought us out here to die. Why'd you do that, Moses? Just that complaining. But then, when you look at two men, Joshua and Caleb, when the spies were going over, and they were going over to the land of Canaan to look at it, they were the only two that said, you know what? I think we can do this. I think this is obtainable. Not because anything in and of ourselves, but because of who our God is, who our Savior is, who our Redeemer is. See, that's what they were remembering. They weren't built up in and of themselves thinking, you know, I think I can do this. I think we can do this with the help of the Lord. I think we can do this because God is on our side. God is taking care of us. I want you to keep that mentality in your mind in what we're talking about this morning when it comes time, when you're dealing with temptation, when you're being faced with the choice and you're being handed down something. This is the mentality that you and I are supposed to have in our mind. I think I can do this. I think we can do this. I know I can do this with the help of the Lord. That's what he's talking about here. Because you go down and you look at these next few verses. Now, these things were our samples and or examples. So these things are written to you and me to be an example for you and me that we can learn from it. There's too many mistakes out there to be made that for us to make all of them and to learn the lessons we need to learn from all of them. So what the Bible has done is catalog these wins and losses so you and I can look at it, we can gain from it, and we can do right from the start. After knowing Christ as our Savior, we can do right from the start. And you say, well, you're talking pretty definitive and pretty boldly maybe, but I want to tell you, this is how the Word of God says it. If this was all just you can't do it, then what would be the point? The point I want you to see this morning is take note of your help. Take note. We can do this through Jesus Christ. And that's how he had to have us to live. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So what happened is they had spent so much time in the wilderness in Egypt, they had grown accustomed to lusting after the things of the world. That's what happens if we spend the majority of our time in the world and not in the things of God. We get our taste gets accustomed to that. And then we start trying to justify that taste and just minimizing the sin and how detrimental that it really is. Look what goes on to be said here. It says, neither ye be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They just kind of did the things that they wanted to do. They're idolaters. And you look at the word idolatry. Idolater, that means a worshiper of idols, an adorer, a great admirer. That's anything that we put before God. You've heard this, but I want you to know this morning. Anything you put before God is an idol. Anything. That doesn't mean that you had to fashion a golden calf and make that, and then you set that up in front of you and you pray to that. That doesn't mean that. doesn't mean that you made some other kind of idol or that you have another idol around the house and you go to that and you X amount of days pray to it and you think, well, I don't do any of that. I'm not a partaker in idolatry. Well, here's the thing. Anything you put before God is a form of idolatry. Anything. And I think the number one thing that we all are guilty of is the same thing you're probably looking at right now, and that's your phone or your device. The time that you spend on that, I'm telling you, I'm guilty. You say, I can't believe you're saying that. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm guilty. I've spent more time on my phone than I should, and most people do. Just like it said here, it's a common thing. We have to come to terms with things and deal with things. And I know we can use it for different things, good and bad and what have you, but if we're using it to waste our time and we're putting that before what we need to be doing for God, it's idolatry. For every single one of us, just there's no ifs, ands, or arguments about it. I want you to know, I'll go ahead and say this here, none of us, no Christian, can go before God and say, Lord, I was just overtaken, and I failed, and I wish you could have helped me. No, none of us are going to be able to say that. You'll see that as we go back to this last verse. You will see that, and God has already made a way of escape, and we'll get to that point. I'm telling you, if you and I will do it, it results in 100% success rate, and that's based off the Word of God, and that's why I want to share that with you this morning. So many Christians today are spending the cycle, I believe with all my heart. They run hot, they run cold, and when they run cold, they get out of the will of God, and then they try to flounder around a little bit, then they try to get back in the will of God, and they just kind of stay in that continual state. Next thing you know, you're 50, you're 60, you're 70, and you're looking back. Why haven't I beat this thing yet? It's because you haven't dealt with it. You haven't dealt with it. You and I have to deal with our sin, and we need to do it sooner rather than later. And the Bible gives us the pathway to do that if we're willing to follow it. You think about looking for revival services or having a fulfilling life with God. This is how it happens. The secret is there is no secret. God's not hiding this from us. He wants you to have it. He wants me to have it. And this is how we are to have it. And he talks about adulterers, but right before that, it says, these things were our examples, the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, lust is, when I think about that, I think bad, bad, bad. Lust is a bad thing, and it is, but I want to give you the definition. It means a longing desire, an eagerness to possess or enjoy, and also means a carnal appetite, unlawful desire of carnal pleasure. So you have a twofold meaning there. You can have a longing desire. You know, the Bible says that the spirit lusteth after the flesh and the flesh after the spirit. So it's like, well, the spirit after the flesh, well, there's a desire against it is what it's saying. It's a strong desire. And you look at what lust is. Lust isn't just a man looking upon a woman or a woman upon a man in that aspect. That's absolutely part of it. But it's also when you look upon things. Look upon something else, say, boy, I want that. Boy, I want that. I want that shiny new whatever it is. I want to collect whatever this is or whatever it is. When you have that inordinate desire that you want it more than anything, that's what lust is. And that's what is being displayed here. They lusted after things. The life that they were having. You see how life is portrayed in the world today. Go to school, get a good education, which is good in and of its own self, but why? To make that extra money. Why? To have that extra money so you can have all these things, these luxurious things, and live this lifestyle. And it's, if you're not careful, I don't care, saved or not, people fall into that. It is pleasing to the flesh, and the flesh takes eyes upon that and looks upon that and says, I want that. I want to do that. I want to have that lifestyle, and that creates that war, and it's just so detrimental. You see here the children of Israel, God's own people, that's what they were facing, and that's the example that you see. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. That's 23,000 people fell in one day. And you say, fornication, that's bad. It is. It is. When you look at it, and I'm always cautious in talking about things like this, but I believe sometimes you have to just hit the nail on the head and just come out and say, I believe that. And I prayed that the Lord help me to say it the right way. But sometimes, and I'd say every time, if we're going to be honest, every time it needs to be said. But when you look at fornication, what is that? What is that? And I looked up the definition and I kind of wrote down my own definition, but it's the premarital relationship, male or female. That is when you have people outside of wedlock, male or female, when they're outside of wedlock, having a sexual relationship with one another. That is fornication. And I want you to know that is the physical definition of fornication, but there's also the spiritual definition of fornication. And I want to drive this home because it represents a greater thing. When you look at the spiritual side of it, and you look at how the Lord, when He ordained the house to be man and woman, as He created them in Genesis, you go back at the creation, you see how man and woman was created, how they are to cleave one to the other, they become one flesh, you see how they come together. God does not want that to be tarnished. God wants us, people before marriage, to keep themselves clean. And then once they free from have a relationship with anybody else so they can unite with the one God intended them to unite with and then live faithfully together with that person. That's the intent. That's the physical side of it. Now, the spiritual side of it is this. When we unite with Christ, the bride of Christ, when we unite with Him, He intends for us to live clean before Him. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to be partakers of things out here. He doesn't want us messing around with things in the world. He doesn't want that. He wants you and I to be faithful and true to Him and have the relationship, the loving relationship that He wants us to have together. You see, that's the greater, when you start looking at it, as bad and as awful as fornication is physically, it is just as bad, if not worse, spiritually. When you see what it's talking about, you're denying the one that you love when you do that. And that's what He's speaking to here. Let's look at this again. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. 23,000 people one day died. Here's the thing about sin. If you're lost or if you're saved, sin is going to be judged. That is the righteousness of God. He doesn't allow those who are saved to get away with anything. We are going to be judged. That we were going to be faced with things. You see here, this was Moses' people. This was those who was following and identified with Moses, and they fell in the wilderness because of their sin. They weren't faithful. They weren't doing what God had called them to do. Sin is just as serious today as it was in the Old Testament, as it was or is at any other time in dispensation. I believe what we see maybe in this age of grace that we think maybe we're getting by with something, and I want you to know nobody gets by with it. If anybody could get by, remember this, if anybody could get away with any sin, Jesus wouldn't have to have gone to the cross. Always remember the seriousness of sin goes back to the cross. Remember that. You ever think that your sin doesn't matter or you're downplaying your sin? Remember, all of our sin is what sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Remember that. That should always remind us of how serious sin is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we come down here, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now we should never play around thinking we are in a grace period and so God is just allowing us to kind of do what we want to do and that we're going to get away with things. We're not. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It might be down the road. But if we do not ask for forgiveness and get that right with God, it will be dealt with. We have to know and have to understand that. So we don't need to tempt Christ in any way. And then look at verse number 10. I find this interesting. You look at these, what you would say is some of the bigger things. I say bigger. Sin is sin. But when you look at it, these are the things that are mentioned. Paul mentions here to the Corinthians, to the church at Corinth here. He's saying here, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. See, murmuring is a bad thing. Murmuring is probably worse than what we would give credit to it being. You think, well, I'm venting. I need to vent. Well, you know, it's one thing to get with somebody that you can trust and talk to and just talk about what bothers you and things that hurt you or concern you. Absolutely. I agree with that. I like talking to my friends or my mom or my dad, you know, what have you. Brandy, I mean, if something is bothering me or has hurt me, I'm one that likes to talk to somebody to try to get help and get that off my chest. The number one person we always need to talk to is the Lord Jesus, first and foremost. But I'm just saying, murmuring is a little bit different in that murmuring is complaining. And so what they were doing, if you remember, they murmured to Aaron, they murmured to Moses. It was constant murmuring or against Moses. They was always complaining, this and that. Moses was trying to follow God. He received the commandments of God. He comes back. He sees what Aaron is carrying on and how that's going and how disheartening that was. And that group of people murmuring against him, they themselves not even following God, not in the will of God, murmuring against the man of God. Now, how frustrating is that? That's about as frustrating as it gets. But now, when you look at it, let's look at it this way. What is murmuring? What is that exactly? So, let's say you are in the workplace, or you have, you're in the workforce and what have you, and a group of you and your friends are discontent with the leadership or management, and you get together and you just start complaining, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Why are they not doing this? Are they not thinking of us? And so what you get is a complaining. You get a murmuring that gets started, and that builds up, and that builds a wall of contention between the workers and leadership. And so once that is built, a lot of sarcasm comes into play. There's a wall that's put up, and then the communication starts to fail. It starts to fall down. And then you have leadership on one side, and then you have the workforce on the other side versus how they're supposed to be working together. Now look at the seriousness of what this is being said here. When these people, when the children of Israel was complaining against management, you know who they were complaining against? God himself. Moses was acting in obedience up until the point where he struck the rock. Now, he wasn't perfect, and you know he didn't get to go over into the land of promise either, Caleb and Joshua. But now when you see this here, you got to understand when we complain about things and when we start murmuring about things, if we're not careful, we're murmuring about the provision that God has granted to us. That's not a spirit of being thankful. If you want to look at something about how to start turning your life around or your attitude around, look through a lens of thankfulness and think about where you could have been. Think about where you should have been if it wasn't for the love of God and what he did and what he does for us. I tell you, that should just change our attitude and our outlook on so many things, and not just get so ornery or impatient or what have you that we just complain about things just to be complaining about us about. But our God is too good to us for us to be that way. He just is. And you say, preacher, you're talking awful big. Well, I'm telling you, we all need to take this to heart and listen. Because you look at the implication, these people that were doing these things, they died. They died in the wilderness. They didn't get to go over into the land of promise. Now, let's see what the land of promise is, what that illustrates to us today. That's the fruitful life that you and I can have in Jesus Christ. If we are portraying these attitudes, we're not going to have that. We're not going to cross over into that land of promise, the land of the fruitful spiritual life that you and I are supposed to have. It's not a sign, it's not a illustration of going into heaven, because there were giants there, there were battles there, and there's no giants and battles in heaven. That's home. We've crossed the finish line once we get there. This is talking about the life in comparison that you and I can have in Jesus Christ. So you see these things as they come down. Look at verse number 11. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples. All these things happened to them. It's an example to us. You look up in sample, that's what it's talking about. It's an example for us. It's something that we can see, a template for us to follow or to not follow. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's a pattern for us to follow. Now, you look at the admonition of it, that in remembering what this is about, all these things happened unto them for in samples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. As things are coming together, looking forward to Jesus Christ returning, we need to keep these things in mind. Now, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, here's the thing. I put a lot of thought into this verse particularly because it's separate and apart a verse of its own, and I think we need to lend it a little attention. I believe that with all my heart. So it says here, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Now, anybody listening, truthfully and honestly, do you think that you can stand? Do you think that you can succeed on your own? I don't think anybody listening would say, yeah, I think I can. Yeah, I've got this beat. I don't think anybody truthfully would say that. I don't. And the reason I bring it up this way is we will allow ourselves to get to the edge before we realize it, not understanding the seriousness of it. Two commentators that I listened to this week on this, this is what they had to say, and I want to make sure I get this right. It's an illustration. It's about a little girl, who kept falling out of the bed. She kept falling out of the bed at night. And finally, the mom asked her, said, why do you keep falling out of the bed? And she said, because I keep sleeping close to where I got in. And I thought, wow, that's really good. If we're not careful in our Christian life, that's exactly what we're doing. We're not maturing. We're not growing. We're not gaining anything in Christ. What we're doing is we got in and we just stay right there. And nonetheless, as the little girl was saying, and she was sleeping there. So she wasn't even awake and alert to know what she's doing. All she had to do was turn the wrong way, and she was close enough to fall off to the floor. Now, I want to say this. When we are dealing with things, if you know you have a problem with something, you better stay away from it get as far away from it as you can. Don't play with it. Don't think that you can stand against it. And I want to tell you this morning. And don't give the devil credit. Don't give the devil credit. You know how many people I've heard say, well, the devil got him. The devil got her. The devil finally got him. No, we made a decision. We made a choice. There's decisions that we can make and you say, well, why are you being so hard on that point? I'm not. Look what the Word of God says right here. Look what it says. This is a warning to every single one of us. We should never think that we can stand. We should know better than that. But it says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You have it in your mind, probably, whatever you are fighting against, whatever you are dealing with, is that you are the only one battling what you are battling. And if not that, you are the only one battling it to the degree that you are battling it. That nobody else has ever faced it as hard as you are facing it. And I want to tell you, that's a deception. That's not true. And the only reason I can say that is because the Bible says it, and it gives it to us here. There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. Everything that man is faced with, the temptations that are out there, is common to every single one of us. Every single one of us. That's me, that's you, and I want you to know we are in this thing together. I need your help. You need my help. We need each other's prayers. None of these things that we can think, well, I can beat it, but you can't. Be careful. Be careful. You're getting across to that line. You're getting to the place where you're sleeping where you got in. if you start thinking that way. But see, here's the thing. There's no tenth day. The Lord doesn't keep this hidden from us. There is hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. So that tells me we are all built the same way. We're all facing the same things. So we should there not be an ideal remedy for all of us. Emmett's starting to cry again already. I thought we could get through. I'm finishing up here soon. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Anytime, if you really listen to these verses, anytime we give in to temptation, it's because we chose to do it. We chose to do it. The accountability fell on us. See the church door, the door to children's church open back there. I'll tell you, I'll fill you into that a little bit later too. But here's the thing. Once we get to that point, it's a choice that we made. You can't say, well, the Lord didn't help me enough. That will not be an excuse. You can't say the devil was just too hard. Say, preacher, you better be careful talking about all this stuff. I'm telling you, there's things that we're going to face. But now, I want to remind you of something. Let's go to James 1:13 real quick. I'm going to close. I'm getting ready to close here. I'm giving you the recipe. If we partake of it, we do. And if we don't, we don't. But the choice is yours and mine to make. Now, if you look at temptation, go to James chapter 1, I want to read verses 13 through 15. This is the definition, or this is kind of, this is what it brings out to us in dealing with trials. I want you to know, God will never entice you or tempt you to do evil. So if that is what is coming up, know that that is not of God. If it's to go somewhere you're not supposed to go to, if it's to do something you're not supposed to do, if it's to look at something you're not supposed to look at, if it's to eat something, drink something, take something that you're not supposed to, I want you to know that is not of God. God doesn't tempt you. God doesn't do that. I want to stop and say this here. Now you say, well, what about trials? What about trials? When you look at temptation, it's an enticement to do evil. If you look at a trial, it's a testing to do something right. You think about this. When you are tested in school, when you have those multiple choice answers, or really if you have, you know, there's just one right answer. When you're being tested in school, it is not to make you fail. It's to help you succeed in knowing what the right way is. That's not enticing you to do evil. It's encouraging you. It's testing you to do something right. Look at these verses here in James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God has never tempted any one of us. He doesn't tempt us. That's not what he does. Neither hath he tempteth any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he's pulled in to do something wrong. And then it goes on to say, also, this is the penalty of sin. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the wages of sin is death. You see how that's consistently taught all throughout the Word of God. So when you are tempted, it's not of God. When you're tempted, it's not of God. The devil will tempt us. God will try us. He'll try our faith. And here's the thing about our faith. If our faith has never been tested, how can we trust it? How are you going to know it? You know, our faith, when we look back and we see the fruit of our faithfulness or the fruit of our trust and where that has been a benefit to us in the past, we can grow from that and say, that's good. But God never entices us to do wrong. Now, I want to close with this. Now, I know I'm going maybe long again, but I want to give you these things here. Because again, you look at this verse. Now, I want to read this to you, but be turning to James chapter 3, verse number 7. Turn to James chapter 3, verse number 7. James 3, verse number 7. But I want to read this verse to you again here also. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not deliver you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want to give you that way of escape this morning. I want you to highlight these verses. I want you to write these verses down. If you want to, I know sometimes people put them on memory cards, index cards. I tell you, this right here would be some verses to really help you. If you're wanting to get across, if you want to get out of the idolatry phase, out of the fornication phase, you want to get out of the murmuring phase, you want to cross over just as two people, just as Joshua and Caleb passed over, here's the pathway to do that. This is how you do that. This is what James 3:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. That means surrender to Him. That means you stop when you're in that decision-making phase. You remember what we talked about last week? This continues right on. We're right back where we left off. You stop and you say, God, I want what you want. God, I want what you want. Have you ever told Him that? When you're praying, Lord, I don't know what to pray for, but God, I want what you want. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says that we can do that. I think a lot of people don't know that we can do that, that we don't have that ability, that power, that authority. The Bible tells us that we do. Now, we can't claim that in and of ourselves, and I want you to know that. None of us are able. None of us are a match for the devil, but we can resist him. The Bible says resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's some of the most powerful context of verses you'll find in the Bible when it comes to our decision making, our choice making. If you resist the devil after being submitted to God, the Bible says he'll run from you. And that's not anything in and of ourselves, but that's in the power of submission to Jesus Christ. He is no competition for God. He's no competition for our Savior Jesus. He's not. We're nothing. He can take us out anytime if we let him. But here's the recipe to not let him. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you know how many times I've said it, and I mean it with everything in me, and I don't want anybody to think I'm just using it as a filler statement to make, but I'm telling you, stay as close to God as you can. Stay in church. Be faithful to church. If not our church, another church, a good Bible teaching, preaching church. I don't believe in trying to pull people from other churches, but I do believe in you being faithful to the church God has called you to be in. You stay faithful to that church. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You take a step to Him, He'll take a step to you. And I'll tell you one better, run to Him. Run to Him. Run to Him. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Repentance. This is what I'm telling you. You've got to repent of your sin. Cleanse your hands. Get rid of the wrongdoing. You can't play around with it. You've got to deal with it. You have to deal with it. You and I have to deal with it. And it says to cleanse your hands, ye sinners. It calls us what we are. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Those that are going back and forth like this, that's what double-minded means. I'm kind of leaning this way and I'm kind of leaning that way. You're too close to the edge of the bed and you're going to fall out. You're going to fall asleep and you're going to fall out. And that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. And it says here, verse number 9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy turned to heaviness. That is how bad sin is. There's no joy in sin. Maybe for a season, but you'll regret it. Once it is conceived, once you look back, there's immediate regret. Why did I do that? Immediate regret. And the Bible teaches us there's a way of escape. We could have escaped that. We could have passed that. We could have got by that. And I'll close with this, what it says in verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That simply says, friends, what that is saying there, take yourself to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm facing this, whatever it is that you're facing. And I can't handle it. I'm at my breaking point. I'm at my end point of this thing. Whatever that may be, and you lay it before the Lord, you stop and you don't do it. Whatever it is, whatever that is, you don't do it. You don't say it. You don't take it. You don't eat it. You don't drink it. You don't look at it. You stop and you humble yourself before God. And you know what he says, what the Bible says, Paul is teaching us here. James is teaching us here. James is about doing. He's one, be doers of the word and not hearers only. He's a man of action. I like the book of James. I encourage you today, if you're trapped in, read the book of James in its entirety. You'll get a blessing out of it. Do it. Do it is what James is saying here. And he will lift you up. I hope that this has been a help to you. I'm going to close off right there. I think Brandy's got her hands full with children's church back there. I tell you, that's not an easy job even here at home. As cold as it is, we're going to try to leave Emmett out, but it was so cold we let him back in. And last week, that was something else. He got through out of children's church. I just want to share that with you. Maybe I already told you that, but Brandy had to open the screen back there and toss him out and everything, and I think she's kind of dealing with him right now. But we've gone an hour almost, and so I'm going to stop here. But let's stop with a word of prayer, and please know I'm praying for you, and I'm here for you to try to help you any way that I can be. And I hope these messages will be a help to you. We have to do it. We have to apply it, and we have to do it. That is when it takes effect in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning just thanking you so much again for your provision. Lord, a good place to be, Lord, warm place. And I pray for each one listening in, God, that they also have a good warm place to be and food and plenty of help, God. And I pray that you help them. Lord, be with each listener. Lord, anyone that's lost, God, I pray for them. Help them to see their needs. Save them, Lord. Be glad to talk to them. Lord, anybody listening in, dealing with some things, hard things, God, you've given us a way of escape, and I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you encourage them and help them to see that. Make these verses real in their life, God, that they can be victorious in you. Go with us now, Father, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Appreciate you all listening in.